I'm going to give you an update from David and Connie. David sent me these words, so these are the words from David to share with us this morning. As our time in Bechko rapidly runs out, I would say it in a Newfoundlander accent, but you just have to fill in that blank. As our time in Bechko rapidly runs out, it is time to reflect on what has been the most amazing experience. In November of 2004, we left our home in Newfoundland and headed north, knowing not where we were going. What started out in fear and trembling was the beginning of a journey filled with wonder, challenge, hard work, and most of all, memorable people. Simply put, we fell in love with the north, and that love sustained us in the difficult times. I will drill down further and say that it is a God-word love. Twice we have tried to wrestle ourselves from it, but twice we have returned home. Now God has released us from this work and assigned another task, our family. The cries from back east have gotten progressively louder, and the message has been received. In May, we will begin our journey back after 18 years of what started out as a two-year project. God has been so, so good. Without a doubt, our most fulfilling ministry has been in Bechko, which has been more like home than any of the other places we have visited in the north. It is not an easy place always, and without a doubt, there is certainly an abundance of alcohol and drug abuse and the social ills that accompany these issues. Yet God has sustained us in our efforts to be a presence in the lives of the Ticho, or Tlicho, and we are not just here, we do life with these people. We prayed for more gifts to help the aged and homeless, and God supplied all our needs, Philippians 4:19. The amazing outpouring of money and support from Leduc Alliance has been humbling, and we are grateful to the way you responded to the prompting of our Lord to help those in need, James 1:27. Forgive us for being such poor stewards in not keeping you all abreast of what we have done in the last 2 years. And this is a weak attempt to let you know that you have done much good. Connie and I have different ministry focus. While she was very much has a heart for the aged in the community, I am led to the homeless, both men and women. Yes, women. Connie has bought thousands of dollars in food for people, mostly women, who are both weak and infirm, or tolerating situations which we fail to understand. I've often said that I could not put my feet to the floor in the morning if that is how I had to live. In addition to this, we have helped people with rent so they would not end up on the street. We have helped get disconnected power put back on and oil in the oil tanks. This year is the first time we did this, but we helped with income tax fees. Always we have guarded the trust you put in us by appointing us your trust. We have not sought any honor or glory of our own, and both of us have taken pains to pass the glory to God we serve and the people of Leduc Alliance. Now the time has come for us to sign off from this chapter of our ministry lives. You have made our lives better, and we add your love and concern to the godly treasures from which we have benefited. I am excited with what God has in store for us, and I hold to my life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. May God continue to richly bless you. David. So David sent some video for us this morning, and David and Connie wanted you all to see who are the individuals that you're reaching and touching with your gifts. And so maybe we can get those house lights in the middle dimmed down there, Benny, so we can see the front. You guys can feel free to check your phone. Whosever phone that is. Oh, it's the Apple computer. He's getting a call. This is Monique Etlanzo. She is 93 years old. She can hardly walk and is deaf. She cannot leave her home and go to the seniors' home because her son, who is in a wheelchair, will have nowhere to live. And you can see the blanket that she has on her. Next. This is Celine Tatsia. She's 84, and her son, who is a severe alcoholic, lives with her. No one cares for her. The smell in her home was overwhelming. Freddie was almost throwing up when he came out. The son steals her money and brings drinks to her house. A very sad story. We have bought so much food for her so she doesn't starve. Now, this is just one incident. This is pretty typical. This is Marguerite Rebesque. She is totally blind, and her alcoholic son lives with her. So many times, he and his friends are literally dragging her to the store. She attends our church occasionally. Selena Wanaza. She's not doing well. Two sons and grandson living with her. A few months back, they were fighting in her house, and they knocked her down. She was injured and in bed for months. She's a special lady here in town. The RCMP will drop by and help her out. Edward and Rosa Washir. I know this couple quite well. Their daughter Jennifer works with us. They have been married for over 50 years. Eddie survived stomach cancer. He struggles with alcohol and leaves home for days. He shows up at our church every Sunday for the big meal. This is Agnes Apples. She lost two sons due to alcohol. They both drowned while fishing and drinking. She can't speak much English, but she was so appreciative and loved the quilt. Teresa Black Duck. She's blind, but still able to live alone somehow. Her youngest son, Eric, works with us. She has four sons, whom are all are addicted to alcohol and extremely tough. She is scared of them, and they try to break into her house and steal her money. It is a very heartbreaking situation. This is Marcel Zoe. Wife Rita was not at home. He was babysitting three granddaughters who were so excited over the quilts. Marcel speaks great English, so we had a good chat. He was totally amazed at the kindness of your church. The lining of the quilt was caribou, and he was ecstatic over that. This is a family that's wonderful here in Bechko. His grown children are doing great and all work. So friendly and kind. Charlie and Madeline Lafferty. She is a woman who raised almost all of her grandchildren. Her daughters are all addicted and couldn't care for their children. She has raised at least six so far and still has at least four small ones with them. This is our special friend, Freddie. Freddie is the gentleman that helps them. He went with me yesterday and did all the translating for me. He took the bags of candy you sent and gave handfuls to them. He's the kindest person I know. He will give everything he owns away. He's helpful in every way. Shovels our snow, rakes our leaves, and gives food to the church, even when he doesn't have much. He attends church all the time and every Bible study. He talks about God all the time. He's very special, and he's like a child to us. Lawrence Sabarin. He has a wife, but she wasn't at home. At this time, he was babysitting his one-year-old grandson. He was able to speak English and was so very appreciative. He was actually amazed I would take the time to bring him a quilt. He loves the flannel and kept feeling it. It was a very pleasant visit. Rosa Martin, very sad situation. No one really cares for her. She will get dropped off at the store and is there for hours, waiting for someone to take her home. Her grandson lives with her, who is an alcoholic, doesn't work, and just steals from her. Pretty cool picture, if you notice, the dried fish that is on her plate. She was trying to get the fish off her hands before she could touch her quilt. I knew she was very grateful. She kept saying, Maskocho. That's thank you, I guess. What is it? Masaycho. There you go. Peter Mantla is a very pleasant man, and we could have a conversation. He was also so very impressed with the quilt and how it felt. His daughter and children live with him. Very crippled and can't get around much. His daughter takes pretty good care of him. Nick Football. Great last name. Nick Football, what an awesome man. Very pleasant and upbeat when he comes to the store. This was the first place where he got a chair for me to sit and visit a while. His wife passed away a few years ago, and now he has grandsons living with him. He has a beautiful daughter who works at the seniors' home who really makes sure he's doing well. And this is Edward and Rosa Metla. They are looking very sad today. Their 32-year-old daughter was found dead last week. Edward cannot walk and has severe mental issues. So there are some of the individuals that your gifts of love, thank you ladies in church for your contributions, have made a difference in people's lives. And you notice the references that David has put in there, that he talks about touch. Touch very many times about the quilt. Because unlike us here, we have lots of things that we can get. If we need something, most of us can go to the store and get what we need, including blankets and clothing and that kind of stuff. Well, a lot of these guys don't have that ability to do that. And as you heard, Connie and David spend a lot of their dollars and the dollars that we've donated to them in simply providing the basics. And a lot of them don't have a bed to sleep on. They don't have a mattress. So they sleep on blankets that are given to them or donated or made by this church. So this is what your work has done. Your giving has done. All those hours that the ladies have spent in the back, in the great room, with their sewing machines, putting these quilts together, and I know every single one was made with love. If you notice on the quilts, if you got a chance to say, what did it say on it, Kathy? Or is she? Where's Kathy? Jesus loves you. There's a little tag on each quilt. So, yeah. So we look forward to seeing David and seeing Connie. And we know that they're doing great work up there. We know that they've been very busy. We know that David had COVID, so he's been recovering from COVID. Connie had COVID as well, and then their whole store happened to get infected with COVID, their employees. So I know that was part of the reason why they didn't get a report to us sooner than later, is because they were running a whole store by themselves. And if you can imagine that, their store is open, I think, from 8 to 8 or whatever each day. So, I mean, they do 12 hours of work, you know, doing this. And then on top of it, David is preaching at the church. He's doing counseling. So he does that every Thursday afternoon. He's reaching out into community and doing counseling with people there. And then they go about and they deliver food. They deliver food. They deliver these quilts. They do all these things that we are not aware of. So when you guys get a chance to see David and Connie, if you get a chance to email them or send them a note, say thank you so much for what they've been doing and being so faithful. This morning, just a short devotional is related to what we've seen this morning. And it's found in John chapter 21. I'm going to finish off this area of John. Jesus appears to the seven disciples. This is the third time that he appears. And they're out fishing. right? And Jesus is on the shore, and he's got bread, he's got fish cooking on the shore. They don't not quite know that it's Jesus, but when he tells them and says, "Have you caught anything?" And their response is, "No." Well, he tells them to do what? Throw the net on the other side of the boat. And it's like deja vu. I've heard this before, right? And they catch, I think the number is 153 fish. And they pull that ashore, and Jesus says, you know, come, have breakfast. And let's talk. Let's have some fun. You know, let's tell some jokes. But let's do some life together. It's me. It's Jesus. You know, this is the third time I've appeared to you. Starting at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Do you love me? That's Jesus' question. Do you love me? We may not be Peter. We may not have been in a situation where if we said, "I'm with him," that we would be taken and crucified with Jesus. Because that's what Peter was scared of. Jesus said to him, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And you're going to know it because the rooster's going to crow." And Peter said, "Surely not I, Lord. I will never deny you." Words that echo through history. Because maybe we've said those exact words ourselves. And at some point, we fall down. We fail. And we regret it. And we get discouraged. The enemy gets in there and he throws us down, says, "You're no good. See, I told you. You were going to do that." And then we're tempted to throw it all away. That's Peter. After Peter sees Jesus crucified, what's Peter thinking? I should have been there. It should have been me. I should be up there with him. Can you imagine what Peter's feeling? He's overcome by grief, just like all the disciples are, because they were waiting at the stone on the third day to throw a party, were they? They were convinced Jesus was dead. He's not coming back. And we thought pretty sure that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that was going to release us from the Romans, that was going to set up the kingdom of God, and we once again would rule. But that didn't happen. You ever been hit by disappointment? When what you thought was going to happen doesn't happen. And better yet, something else happens that in our perception is not good. Well, now we know from last week the disciples were hiding in the upper room. They're hiding from the Jews because they didn't want to lose their lives. And Jesus appears to them and says, I'm alive. He appears to the women at the cave, as a burial site, at the tomb. There's the word tomb. Thank you. You can come up and preach to Lynette. She's like, no. But he appears at the tomb, right? He comes at the tomb and says, I've arisen. And they're so excited, and they run back and they tell him, but it takes a third time. The third time he appears, and now he approaches Peter. He hasn't approached Peter. He hasn't talked to him one-on-one yet. And that whole time Peter's thinking, I denied him. It's like an itch in the back of your brain that you can't scratch, that only God can itch. And so Jesus pulls him aside, says, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Now, the word he uses for love is not the same word that Peter returns to Jesus. Jesus uses the word agape, which is sacrifice, sacrificial love. Peter, do you sacrificially love me? Well, if you're Peter and you're looking at this and going, yes, you know I love you. But he failed in his sacrifice. He denied Jesus three times. You were with him. You were with the Nazarene. No, I wasn't. He didn't sacrifice himself that time, did he? He didn't. Even though he said, I will not deny you, when it comes to that point, will we be faithful? We want to say yes. We want to say, I will never deny you, Lord, but we might fail. We may. But Jesus is faithful with Peter because he gives him the opportunity to be redeemed. What happened at the cross? What happened in the grave? What happened when Jesus arose? Redemption. The penalty for sin has been paid. Death has been defeated. Sin no longer has a hold on you, and now he's going to complete the redemption process personally for Peter, because he knows he's got that itch in the back of his head that he can't scratch, and that only Jesus can release. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love these people in Bechko? Do you love these people in Bechko? If so, feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. Love well. Love God. Love people. Be one together. Scott McKnight, pastor, he writes a book called The Blue Parakeet. And he's talking about how to read the Bible afresh and anew. And the illustration he uses is two words. He says the whole Bible can be summed up in this one way, is the battle between oneness and otherness. Oneness is being one with God, is being one with his people. And what unites us that way in loving Jesus. But the battle we face is being otherness, is where we don't want that. The world tries to tear us away from being one and being other. The biggest thing and glue in being one is what? Love. Loving God and loving people. That's what we've been called to do. That is the redemption story that runs from beginning to end through Genesis through to Revelation. Jesus is showing us an example of loving somebody that has said no to you, that has denied you, that has maybe been mean to you. He says, you redeem them. That's what it's all about, is redeeming people back to the hands of God, back to his heart, into his kingdom. So he says to him the third time, no, Peter, listen to what I'm saying to you. Do you love me sacrificially? Do you love me? The third time, Peter finally answers what? Yes, Jesus, I do love you sacrificially. I failed the first time. And now I'm learning this time. And what does Jesus say? He says, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt. But when you get older, someone else is going to stretch out your hands and fasten the belt around your hands and take you where you do not want to go. He said this to describe what kind of death Peter would glorify God with. How do we know that Peter answered with the same intention that Jesus did? Because Jesus tells him, okay, now you love me, now you're going to follow me, and this is how you're going to glorify me. This is the kind of sacrificial death that you're going to incur. If we indeed love Christ, we will feed and tend Jesus' sheep, his lambs. We will love them. The one who loves Jesus believes in Jesus and will do the same things as Jesus. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be beloved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. John 14:21. Those who love Jesus keep his word. When we love Jesus, both him and his Father come to be with us in our presence. John 14:23 and 24 says this, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from my Father who sent me. So whoever does not love Christ does not keep his words, doesn't keep his commandments. How are we doing with that? It's all in a measurement, is do I love Jesus? Personal story with Jackie, Taylor and Michaela's mom, my first wife, when she was dying from cancer. I'm sitting outside the hospital after visiting hours, and I'm in my car, and I'm crying because I'm saying, why not me, Lord? Why could it not be me instead of her? Because I wanted Jackie to see her girls grow up, see her girls graduate, see her girls see that first child. And before that, I had asked the question, Jesus, do I love this woman? You go through hard times when you don't agree, when you disagree. And we've always made this commitment, and Lynette and I have this commitment to this day, is that we will work through whatever we face, whatever comes our way. And that to be divorced or separated is not an option. Because that doesn't match with the oneness of God. But you get to a point where you ask, do I love this woman? And through this process of her sickness and eventual death, I come out on the other side and say, yes, Lord, I do love her. And so when you love somebody, you sacrificially love and do and give whatever you can. Peter learns this, and he's going to complete the process. Jesus says, if you love me, you do my word, you keep my commands. Many of us say, you know what? Jesus loves me. How do we know that? Is there a practical application to that? Yes, there is. Jesus loves all his creation. He loves his children, specifically. Those that follow him, obey his commands, follow his words, do his Father's will. To keep Christ's commands is to abide in Christ, which is to love Christ. We have this word abide in John 15:10. Those who abide in me, my Father loves. And I abide in my Father, and I do what my Father asks me to do. To keep Christ's word and have his word abide in you is to love Christ and to have whatever you ask be done for you. John 15:7. I'm going to turn back to John chapter 15 and just read that. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me you cannot do anything. Whoever does not abide in me and is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. It's pretty plain, pretty simple. Do I love Jesus? Some days it's more difficult to love Jesus because he gives us challenges. He gives us people to love, which is challenges which are maybe people we don't necessarily like. But he says, love. He says, feed my sheep. He says, tend my lambs. He says, my disciples bear much fruit. The joy of the Lord will not reside in one who does not keep Jesus' commands and word. He says, I've told you these things so that what? My joy may be in you, and your joy may be what? Complete. if we're not doing as Jesus asks us to do and appoints us to do, our joy will never be complete. We'll never have joy in our life. You know what? You can go out and buy as many self-help books about becoming joyful, but God's word is the only one that matters. The joy of the Lord will not reside in one who refuses to abide in Christ. The joy of the Lord does not reside in one who does not, who refuses to love the Lord Jesus. One will not be joyful unless keeping the words and the commands of Christ. Jesus' friends are those who do what he commands. Talked about this before. We may call Jesus our friend, but does Jesus call us friend? That's the real question that matters. Because as he says, my friends are those who do what I command. John 15:14. So how does one really know if we're loving the Lord, really? Pay attention and do what Jesus said. An example. This will keep us from stumbling and falling out of love with Christ. John 16:1, he says, I've said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. When the hour comes. What is the hour that Jesus is referring to in John chapter 16? He's referring to the hour of the Antichrist. He's referring to the hour when everything gets turned upside down. When right is wrong and wrong is right. We are now seeing that in our world today. Are we in tribulation? I don't know. I think we're at the beginning personally, but that's my opinion. It's not here from what I read. But he says, abide in me, know my word, know my command, follow my word, follow my command. To what? To keep us from stumbling. So that when the hour comes, we will know and follow Jesus. One cannot love like Jesus and abide in Jesus if we're hiding in fear. Waiting for the rapture is not abiding in Jesus. Many of us, many people, are looking towards the rapture. I understand that. But you know what? That's not what we're told to look forward to. We're told to look forward to what? The second coming of Christ. That's what we're supposed to look forward to. But there's far too many Christians looking forward to the rapture. Here's a thing to think about. This is a secondary issue. The primary issue is Jesus is coming back. Amen? The secondary issue is when is he coming back? Is he coming back pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib? I'm not taking into account, but I'll tell you. This pre-trib teaching on Jesus coming back didn't become popular until the 1960s. You know what the position was before 1960? It was post. That was the classic trib teaching, was post-trib. So the question is, if we're looking forward to the rapture, and that Jesus is going to take us away, the church, at the rapture, are we banking on pre-trib? Or mid-trib? Or post-trib? Because post-trib, we're going to go through trouble. And in my reading from Scripture, and this is from what I've read, this is where I feel that Scripture speaks, and I'm standing to the side, is that we're going to go through tribulation. Will it be mid, or will it be full? I believe it's post-trib. But the main thing is what? Jesus is coming back. So are we looking towards him coming back, or are we looking towards the rapture? We should be looking towards him coming back. So, do we want Jesus to answer our prayers?
Yes.
Yes? Then are we keeping Jesus' words and commands? Do we want to experience the joy of the Lord? Are we keeping Jesus' words and commands?
Yes.
Right? Do we want the presence of the Lord upon us?
Yes.
Are we keeping the words and commands of Jesus? Some of you are getting it. Alice is right on top of it. Do you want to have peace and a tangible presence of the Lord in your life?
Yes.
Then keep the words and commands of Jesus. Are we bearing fruit for Jesus? Are we working or are we waiting? The presence, the peace, the joy, the prayer, are they answered? Are we keeping the commands and the words of Jesus? You hear Jesus' point. Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Love my sheep. Do the work. Who or what is our treasure? Where our hearts are focused and what they're focused upon is what our treasure is. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart focused? Is it on Christ? Is it on his work? Is it on his word and his commands? What one is focused on as one's treasure determines our joy, our friendship, our love, and our answered prayers. Not to mention the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen.